glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. We've all heard of the five love languages, and currently there's an update to help us dig even deeper into how to love other people using their language. Dr. Gary Chapman, along with Drs. Les and Leslie Parrott, have come up with a companion. It's called The Love Language That Matters Most, How to Personalize Love So They Really Feel It. Today we have the privilege of talking with Leslie Parrott about this new book and helping us dig into how can we love other people better. Thank you so much for joining us, Leslie, on Mark and Friends.
Oh, I'm so pleased to be with you and with our listeners. And wow, what a fun topic. Loving well, right? We all long to be loved deeply and we long to love each other so well. And it's actually just a delight to have a resource that we think can turn the corner for people so much.
Although I do think we all need a refresher course, Leslie, could you walk us through those five love languages and let us just think about that a moment before we add something else to the discussion?
I think people, at least if they don't know all of the love languages, are familiar with the term, because thanks to Dr. Gary Chapman, that's kind of become ubiquitous in our culture. I mean, even Amazon trucks say, you know, next day delivery is my love language. So whether or not that's actually not one of the love languages, but we just so honor Gary for the gift he's given couples, for understanding that we all receive love in a unique way. And just to review for people, the five basic love languages are, you know, receiving touch, receiving gifts, words of affirmation, acts of service, and quality time. And all of us, some of us may have more than one for sure. In fact, that's kind of a fun thing. And we have ways to assess what's your primary love language, what's maybe your foreign love language. For instance, receiving gifts doesn't even show up for me. It's not in my love vocabulary, but I'm all about words of affirmation. So all of us have pathways to feeling the most loved. And, you know, it was Dr. Gary Chapman, who we just adore, who is, believe it or not, 88 and probably could beat me in a race today, but he is just amazing. And for my husband Les and I, who we've been working in this space helping couples for decades now too, to join forces with him and take this concept to an even more powerful level has been really one of the delights of our life.
Now, you mentioned couples, but this certainly surpasses couples, right? And this goes into everyone's heart, single, children, right?
Our children, identifying each of our boys' love languages has been epic for us. In my small group with, you know, I have a small group of women friends. We've been meeting for about 25 years now. It's really delightful to understand how each of us give and receive love. You're right. This is universal. This is absolutely not just a romantic thing, although it is a special key that unlocks the heart of, you know, long, loyal love and makes it so much more enjoyable.
Now, we all have personalities, you know, some are introverts, some are extroverts, and just the, you know, amberverts in between. And how does personality kind of get involved in this, and how do we kind of separate it and look at it in the bigger picture?
Personality, as we know, is, I mean, just our God-given DNA shapes everything we do. So obviously it shapes how we give and receive love. I mean, for instance, and I love that you added the ambivert category, because some of us aren't fully extrovert, we're not fully introvert, but just take that one quality of personality. If I'm a words of affirmation person, which I am, and I was an extrovert, I would probably love it if you called me up and gave me, you know, an award or honor or recognition in front of a group of peers who I respect. If I'm an introvert, that is my worst nightmare. I want you to put those words in a card that I open when I'm alone or give them to me in a quiet space together. So it doesn't take much to see that personality literally shapes the ground of our being when it comes to our love languages, a major interaction. And actually, Dr. Chapman said it's one of the most frequent questions he'd been asked over the decades. You know, tell me about personality. And this book, The Love Language That Matters Most, that Team Parrot and Dr. Gary Chapman have teamed up on, answers that question. And what's so fun is it brings in the concept of dialects, and that is really the groundbreaking quality to this book.
Yeah, when I read that, I'm like, what is she talking about? I mean, that's something new. I've never heard of this, that we have a love language dialect and there's tactics. Let's dig into that.
You're so fun. I mean, all of us get the nuances of dialect and language, right? I mean, it's just so funny. I have a son who's currently living abroad. He was visiting from the UK. And of course, there's dialect differences, even though we all speak English. If you're from Canada, you've got a dialect. If you're from Texas, you've got a dialect. But love language is the same way. You know, just because I'm using myself, words of affirmation, my husband just is super intentional. He's a goal-oriented guy, and he very intentionally was giving me what he thought were words of affirmation that would literally fill my love tank to the brim. A love tank is just a metaphor for how full or empty we feel when it comes to our love and the connection with someone. And we all have them. You know, you can immediately know, oh yeah, my love tank is full to overflowing, or man, I'm running on fumes right now. But he would often encourage me. He would tell me, I believe in you. If any opportunity came up, you could do this. I know you could. He was like my Hallmark card cheerleader squad. And the truth is, he would look at me and I would feel sort of depleted. And it wasn't until we and Gary together worked hard on uncovering dialects that we struck gold, because we began to realize in words of affirmation, for instance, there is encouragement. That's what Les was offering me, but it wasn't my dialect. There are compliments, and that is my ringer, where instead of encouragement, what you're doing is offering affirmation for something they've already done or are. Like, I just saw you interact with our son, and man, that was a brilliant piece of work in parenting. You know, naming something beautiful that you've already seen, or your eyes are, you know, sparkling in that blue sweater today, and get ready because I'll probably wear it for 20 days in a row. But that's, you know, a different dialect. Or there could be appreciation, you know, pouring out thank yous and gratitude for things that you notice have been contributed. Very different dialects, but all words of affirmation. Can you believe that we identified 22 different dialects in these five love languages? Some have several. I think touch has seven different dialects, and affirmation only has three, but every language has a nuance. And boy, when you nail the one that the person you're trying to love, and by the way, the love language that matters most is obviously, I hope, the love language of the person in front of you who you're trying to love right now. And when you nail that dialect, it's like bullseye. It's just a shortcut to their heart, and it's just like love explodes. And it's such a delight to have that sort of insider information that makes you so good at offering love.
But in order to pick up on these nuances, you say that we have to be a good listener. And I will also add to that, we got to be a good watcher. We've got to be tuned in to what we're doing and how it's really hitting the mark of their heart. Talk about the importance of being a good listener.
What an important concept. Being listening is love, is what we've often heard. I think all of us have heard that. And we do believe it until it's our turn to do the work of listening. You know, what we often say is the most important question in the whole world is the follow-up question. You know, if someone, you know, if you bump into someone and you say, how are you doing? And they give you an answer and you use that as a springboard to talk about yourself, you've missed it. But if they give you an answer and you say, you know, well, how was that for you? Or tell me more. Anything else that's a follow-up question, that listening leads you to the place of love. And we sometimes call it your curiosity quotient. Just having that genuine, other-centered curiosity about what's going on for them and what are they feeling. And when you do that, you're right, you can pick up on it. And you can pick up on the love languages and on the dialects through listening and observing. But also, I would want all of the listeners to know that there is the 5 Love Languages Premium Assessment you can take. You could just Google that, and it'll take you, the link will take you right there. This is a really fun assessment that is designed to show you your primary languages, your secondary languages, your foreign ones, how your personality interacts with love language, and your dialects. And if you do that, it will just unlock so many insights. You can do it on your own, being a good sleuth, asking that follow-up question, listening deeply and well. But this is a really nice tool that leads to that same kind of empathy in a fun way.
Kind of takes all the guesswork out of, you know, who is this person I married, or who is this child that I conceived and birthed? And, you know, it just helps us dig in a little deeper. Now, I found in my own life that I cannot be interested in other people. I can't ask questions. I can't do any of that unless my own love tank is full. And sometimes in my world, there are people who are not interested in filling Donna's love tank. So I have learned to go to the Lord, and He alone can fill me up. I mean, first thing in the morning, it helps to go get that little empty love tank full, but all throughout the day, I need to be visiting God's incredible love tank gas station. So talk about that a little bit, Leslie.
I mean, Donna, what a beautiful and wise word for all of us. Because that is our one place of perfect love, being perfectly loved and being in God's presence. And boy, talk about just the gift of being listened to. I just spent time this morning myself in the Psalms, and I love how the psalmist with confidence says, the minute I pray, you listen. And the fact that we have an audience that is always at the ready to hear our sincere prayer is actually mind-blowing, because there's not a human on earth, even the ones that love us the most, who are able to listen at any point we have the need to share. So what a grace gift. And our love tanks are such, let me just talk about that, because our love tanks are not one size, everyone's is the same. We all have unique love tanks. That's one of the things that we talk about in this book, The Love Language That Matters Most. Gary has often used that metaphor of the love tank, but what we discovered when we dove deeply into this research is that our family experiences, our families that created us, and our own personal stories have shaped our love tanks, that our personality shapes our love tank, and that some love tanks are big and it takes a long time to drain them. Others are smaller and need frequent fill-ups. And actually, there are things that can totally cause a love leak. You know, it might be that sharp critical comment, and man, that siphons that tank instantly. And understanding the nuances of that is so important. And the healing grace of God's presence in our life, I think, creates that reservoir in our souls that enables us to love well. And here's something that is so deep about the way God loves us. when your love tank is full, you're brimming over with love. So you've got that to offer. And it's very contagious and it's very synergistic. And when we lean in and allow God to keep that full for us, we're able to offer love in relationships where they may, as you so aptly described, Donna, not even be interested in filling our love tanks. And it's kind of a miracle of God's grace that that's possible. And that was always Dr. Chapman's intent, that this wasn't about a formula of we give love to get it. This is about a decision that we will be that loving presence and speak the love language of the person we're trying to love, regardless of how they respond.
Well, that leads perfectly into my next thought that I'd love for you to expound upon. You say, you write this in page 19, love languages only work when the intention is to connect, not control. It's not a task to accomplish. It's a matter of the heart. Attempts to manipulate love languages erode the trust that allows genuine connection to flourish. Love, at its core, is a language that only works when the goal is to give, not gain. That, to me, that's such an amazing revelation when it comes to love languages.
Amen to that. I mean, at the heart of genuine love is it doesn't involve a formula. It's not, you know, self-centered. And I'm not giving this in order to coax you to love me better. And it's sincere. You know, if we're just doing it to check it off our list, the person who is receiving our love, man, as a parent, haven't you been there? I mean, sometimes life is hectic and you know, your kid wants your full attention and you're trying to finish an email and they want to show you, you know, the latest magic trick they just created and they need your full presence and you turn and give them kind of an empty audience. That doesn't land, right? It has to be wholehearted. It can't be to check it off our to-do list. It has to be authentic. And, there's power in that. Loving deeply and from the heart has to be sincere, and you can't fake that kind of authenticity.
That is so true. Remember when the love languages first came out, I had a gal that pretty much was going to tell her husband this is how he was going to love her. And then she would assess his love ability and then criticize it and be mad that he wasn't loving her in the language that she could listen to and experience and feel. So there's just something we have to get over, isn't it, Leslie, whenever it comes to these love languages? And it does have to be other-centered.
That story breaks my heart because you know that all she really longs for is to love and be loved in return. And somehow the wounds in her life have given her a controlling strategy that is going to defeat that every time. But, you know, that's actually one of the reasons that we teamed up with Dr. Chapman to write this book, because people, what is it? I think over 20 million people have bought what we affectionately call the Purple Book, which is, you know, the five love languages. It's been around for decades. It's been updated. We were delighted to be a part of one of those updates, but let me just tell you that it wasn't Gary's intention, but so often when people study love languages, they really clicked on here's mine and they kind of stopped there. And it was easy to focus on, okay, now I know my love language, love me this way. And that's human nature. It's just our fallen human nature. But that was never his purpose. His purpose was always to enable us to love others better. So I get that it's tempting to measure and evaluate how well people are loving you, if they speak your love language or not. But that will never fill your love tank, because I think it's how God designed us. You actually, when you're looking with a critical eye, what you see are the flaws instead of all the love, and you just miss out.
Well, as our time comes to an end, you also wrote this: learning to love well is not about rushing to get it right, but about embracing the process, one thoughtful step at a time. Mastering the love language isn't about getting it perfect. It's about making progress. It's about making a consistent effort to show up. Set your own agenda aside for the moment. Empathize and choose to love the person in front of you in the way they need it the most. Leslie, talk about the fact this is not a sprint. We are in a love marathon.
I love that. It's true. Perfect is not even what love needs. It's kind of refreshing, right? Because we think, oh, you know, we have this anxiety. Okay, I have to get it right. I have to figure out their language. I have to get their dialect right. But perfect isn't required. It's just the practice of it. It's just the showing up. It's the practice. And it's right. We're in this for the long haul. We're loving. And honestly, when people see our sincere desire to love, we can be totally off and get it completely wrong. And it will still literally land in a way that fills that love tank because they see our effort. They see our practice.
Well, we're having the most delightful conversation. This is Dr. Leslie Parrott, and she, along with her husband, Les, and Dr. Gary Chapman, just came out with a companion book for the five love languages. This is called The Love Language That Matters Most, How to Personalize Love So They Really Feel It. Well, thank you so much, Leslie, for spending time with us today on Mark and Friends.
Listen, Donna, you're a delight. It's been my absolute joy. And by the way, it sounds like you're pretty good at this love language thing. So I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Leslie. Hope you have a great day.
You too.
Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends. Again, their book is called The Love Language That Matters Most, with Dr. Les and Leslie Parrott, along with Gary Chapman. And it's being released through Moody Publishers. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends. You can always go back and listen to any of the programs in an MP3 format, and they're always sitting on our website. Coming up tomorrow on Mark and Friends, it's the Bible study, the Mark and Many Friends, as they listen to a Bible study with Pastor Mark Johnson. That's coming up tomorrow on Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media.